Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Get ready. Hart and Cattles are about to go live on your radio, covering Boston sports and beyond.
The Andy Hart Show. This week, hosted by Glenn Orton. No. Ted Sarandis.
Nick Everybody? Cattles
will be hosting.
Oh, how about that?
Nick Cattles.
There you go.
Good.
Do they call you Wet Blanket Cattles?
Is that they don't.
The nickname? No? What
they
is
don't.
It? No Fun Cattles or...
I think Reality Cattles.
Come on.
The reality is the reality.
Overly optimistic today because I'm Optimistic Andy. That's what people know me as. I'm not cynical at all.
He's an optimistic.
And it all starts right now. Hart and Cattles on EEI.
Hey, Marcus. Two questions for you. And the first one being, did you guys get an explanation of why the charge was overturned with a minute and a half left?
Wish we got a better one, but the excuse was I was late on the charge. They said the replay center said I was late and it was a block. But quite frankly, I think we all know what that was about. Giannis is 6'5", didn't want to get him out. Just we'll call that a spade, and that's just what it is.
Ah, yes, call a spade. Marcus Smart last night after the Celtics lose to the Bucks. And let's put the 50-50 block or charge call, let's put that on the back burner, Andy, because the bigger issue was the crock of the situation that played out last night if you were watching that game. And there's no way, no how. I know we're in Boston. I know we talk about the Celtics and all of that. But I don't care who you are and who you root for. If you're an NBA fan, if you're a sports fan, watching what happened last night was an absolute joke. You blow the whistle because Giannis Antetokounmpo blasts Daniel Theis in the hip with his palm. It's clear as day. Clear as day, he hits Theis. That's a foul. End of story. And then you get the clown car of referees jumping out of the clown car and huddling up and having some kind of a discussion for 5 to 10 minutes. Jeff Van Gundy, Mike Breen, Mark Jackson on the call for ESPN. They're trying to figure out what in the blue hell the officials are trying to discuss here. Then they make their way to the scorer's table. And Andy, we're told that this is going to be a possible hostile act.
Ooh, it's a hostile act.
It's an act of war.
So then we start to try to figure out. And Jeff Van Gundy, I thought, did a great job. I think JVG is incredible at doing these games.
He's
honest. He's funny. He's sharp. And so
when you get done with this serious point, remind me that I have a Van Gundy thing I'd like to comment from the broadcast.
I will do that, making a mental note right now.
Okay.
So, you know, Van Gundy almost immediately asks the question, well, it's still a foul, right? Like, it's whether it's a hostile act or not, it's still a foul. No, it's not. The NBA, in all of their wisdom, for some unknown reason, decided that you can actually stop play, you can blow the whistle due to illegal contact, you can look at the replay to decide whether or not it was a hostile act, which is obviously meaning Giannis had intent to hurt Theis, which he didn't, but you can look at the replay to figure out what the intent was, and then if it's not a hostile act, it's not a foul either. This makes zero sense to me. Zero sense whatsoever. And given the context of the moment, that would have been Giannis's sixth foul. And the fact that the NBA did what the NBA does, they were afraid. This was Friday night.
This was prime time. This was national television. This was Giannis, the possible, probable MVP of the season, the second straight year. They did not want Giannis to fall out of that game. And because of that, the Celtics were screwed. They were hosed. Giannis scores 6 or 7 points towards the end of that game over the final 90 seconds. The Bucks win. And the NBA, I have no idea how you can have a call that was technically made, but then wipe it out because it wasn't the worst of the worst as far as grading the system.
Yeah, this was the equivalent. You see it a lot, and it's in a different sort of environment in an NFL game where they throw the flag and then they go, there was no foul on the play. We picked up the flag.
Well, right.
No. The guy threw a flag for some reason. Like, he saw something that his instincts said, I've been trained. When that happens, I throw this yellow thing up in the air. And then they come back and talk themselves out of it. They did that in this case here. Now, we should be, A, more used to it in the NBA. This is what they do. He was a star. He was a star about to foul out. My bad. I wasn't supposed to blow the whistle there. Those are the rules we have. We're told not to do that because stars are ratings, are our game, are our business model, all that. And I also think, in general, they made the right call. For one simple reason, because the way they handled it, it's going to be bitched about in Boston today on WEEI. If they do it the other way, it's a story nationally because that will be replayed and talked about. Now, you'll get some that'll agree and some that may disagree, but the video, the replay, the whole process to me would get more attention nationally if you foul Giannis out in the first game of the restart against the Celtics in a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals.
So let the few bitch, the majority be able to watch Giannis and enjoy.
Yes. And, you know, it sort of played out like it was a home game, right? Like it was in Milwaukee, right? Fear the deer, City
they did
and
have
all that.
They had the video boards of the Milwaukee Bucks stuff. So,
it was technically a home game. So sorry, Boston, you can go bitch and some of your players will bitch afterwards. But we're avoiding this being more of a national talking point as we return to play in the NBA. And I think, they played that, I guess, right. But the bottom line is, if you just watch sports, and I always go back to all these, whether it's the tuck rule or, oh, yeah, that's foul. You know why I know it's a foul? A, because I see it and it's a foul. And B, because the guy over there who's paid to blow a whistle or throw a flag when he sees something like this did it instinctively before others stepped in and said, whoa, 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 that's 6 on our star. What are you doing there, you idiot?
It just makes no sense to me from the NBA point of view. I get the idea of not fouling out Giannis, and I agree with you. It's best for the league to keep the stars in the games, especially when you're returning from a 4.5-month hiatus. I just don't understand the NBA in what sense this makes to sit down and say, okay, there was enough contact to draw a whistle and a stop in the action, right. And there was enough contact to actually question whether or not that person intended to inflict physical harm to another human being, but somehow, some way, because the intent was not there, it's now nothing. It's now wipe it from your memory.
If this were the court system where precedent matters, right? You set a precedent and then your lawyer gets to look back upon that precedent when he's arguing for your side. If I'm Andy Hart and I saw that, I just, what'd you call it earlier as a UFC term, an open palm or something?
Yeah, a palm strike.
Palm strike. Well, I now learned that precedent has been set. Palm strikes, as long as I don't hit him in the groin, are apparently okay. If I palm strike him to the abdomen area, they'll blow a whistle, they'll look at it, and it's not a foul on me, right? Isn't that what I take away from this?
I guess I'm a defender? So. Yeah, if I'm Jason Tatum and I'm defending James Harden or Giannis or whatever, and somebody tries to screen me,
Van Damme palm strike.
I'm just gonna palm strike the dude in the hip.
Yes, right. It's allowed. I can show you the video. You can't follow me. You can't find me because I'll get this video. I'll get my lawyer. I'm gonna appeal. I see it. Precedent has been set.
Palm strikes are legal. Unfortunately, precedent has been set for Giannis and probably LeBron James and Kawhi and nobody else in the league. And I think if you're watching that game, as we talk Celtics here on Hart and Cattle Sports Radio WEEI, you watched that game last night, it is plain for everyone to see. I want your thoughts. 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937. Let's go to the phones. We have Charlie in Arlington. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. Couple things I wanted to talk about. I certainly understand, and one is Brad Stevens, but before that, so I certainly get basketball is a very close contact sport, but, and this aggravated me even before the pandemic, is the fact that players, you know, feel compelled to slap all, you know, their entire teammates' hands in between and after every free throw, to me, just drives me crazy. And the fact that they do it even during the pandemic, and I get It probably doesn't matter, but if it was me in the league, I would try to limit all contact as much as possible. And to me, that should be one thing that they should stop. You're in the circle. Nobody comes in the circle. You take your free throws, and that's it. And also after the game, too much hugging. I would say they should probably look at that.
Yeah,
the
Charlie,
other thing
before you finish, Charlie, I 100% agree. We go through the trouble of having three rows of tiered seating that's assigned, that's 6 feet apart, and we give that one message, that visual, but then you're allowed to high five, chest bump, mean mug. You know, Giannis had one of those, and his brother came out, and it's a typical of the mixed messages and sort of the window dressing we've gotten all along here. Oh, sit 6 feet apart in those fancy seats, but then go high five everybody.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing I want to mention is, and look, I've never been a big Brad Stevens fan, and I got to tell you, I would not classify Brad Stevens as a great offensive-minded coach. And I got to tell you, I watched the fourth quarter. I didn't watch the whole game, but to me, it's just you got this group of young, talented offensive players that, from my perspective, this guy has yet to maximize their potential. It looks to me like every time you know they go down court for three times and Tatum doesn't get the look, you know, the fourth time he's coming down and he's taking the ball. That guy does not have a way, in my opinion, he has not maximized that offense to a point where there's a system in place where they're trying to get the best offensive look every time down court. It's just a series of, okay, whose turn is it? And to me, it drives me crazy. And to me, I think Ainge needs to look at somehow at some point. I think he's done his thing here. I don't see him as a Mike D'Antoni. I don't see him as a great offensive mind. And I think the team should consider maybe thinking about another coach if they're going to get to the next level.
All right, Charlie, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I disagree with you on Brad Stevens. I think Stevens is a top 10 coach easy in the NBA. Probably if you talk to his peers and you talk to people that would call themselves experts and analysts, he would make a lot of top five lists. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. As a matter of fact, Jeff Van Gundy said last night that he thinks Stevens is going to be with this team for 20 years. He said that. Mm-hmm. I wrote that down when he said it. So I think Stevens is the least of your worries. Now, Charlie, where I will agree with you is towards the end of the games, and this was an issue last night, Gordon Hayward was playing great. And they were running their offensive sets off of Hayward being a facilitator. Kemba was obviously limited in his minutes. So Hayward was running a lot of the offense. Even when Smart would bring the ball down, half court set, they'd give it to Hayward. They'd let him run the offensive set. Then in the last 5 minutes or so, things changed. It became more Jaylen Brown-centric. It became more Jason Tatum-centric. Those guys tended to take over a little bit. And because of that, the offense wasn't as good. But here's the problem, Charlie, and here's the problem for any NBA coach. The truth is, as we were just talking about Giannis, the superstars rule the league. The superstars call the shots. And you can be a great coach all that you want, but in that league, the power structure is upside down. This is not the NFL. This is not Bill Belichick. This is the NBA. And you've got to make sure, you've got to straddle a very, very difficult line to do what's best for the team, but also keep your superstars happy. Because once you lose your superstar, you're either, number one, going to get popped and lose your job, or number two, you're going to lose that superstar and he's going to get out. And we've seen this time and time and time again. There is no coach, no matter how great, Eric Spoelstra is seen as a top five coach in the NBA. Eric Spoelstra is not telling LeBron James that he's not going to be able to get the basketball at the end of a game. Eric Spoelstra is not telling Dwayne Wade he's not getting the ball. No matter how great you are, that's not how it works anymore. This league is defined and ruled by its superstars. I don't necessarily agree with it. It's just a reality.
You know the other reality?
What is that?
Jason Tatum is 22. Jaylen Brown is 23.
Yes.
I'm going to say they haven't evolved into the mature basketball players they'll be in 3 to 5 years. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment.
I mean, they're still young, developing, find their way, not only as individuals, but the chemistry between them, talents. So there's still an evolution. Like, I think people want them to be Giannis or Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James. They're not there yet. I don't know that they'll ever get there, but it's not fair to compare them at 22 and 23 to veteran players who have been around, who have gone to NBA Finals, who've won and lost NBA Finals.
But also, if you're Stevens, though, no matter how young they are or old they are, they still are the hierarchy.
Sure.
And, you know, Stevens has to deal with that. He's got to manage these guys in their young 20s. He's got to develop them. But he also has to make sure that they're getting fed, so to speak. Because if you don't feed the superstar and you don't give Tatum the chance. So I think Stevens is dealing with two things here. A two-pronged problem, so to speak, Andy Hart. Two-pronged problem. He's looking at the idea of my star's got to have the basketball because that's the way the NBA works. And if these guys aren't happy, then all hell's going to break loose. I might lose the team and we're not going to be anything.
Sure.
The other part of it is, as you're mentioning right now, these guys are young. I've got to give these guys the opportunity. I've got to give these guys the shots at the end of the game because you don't just become a killer. You don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, now I'm going to be that guy that hits the shots at the end of games. You have to acquire that. You've got to develop that. And so for Tatum and Brown, again, it's a thin line. You're trying to thread the needle, but you've got to give those guys those kinds of opportunities to prove that they're worthy of it. So down the road, 2 or 3 years from now, you're not even questioning any of that.
Yes. No, sorry. I was distracted by something on the TV. Apparently, it's the restaurant.
I thought I made such a great point that you were just sitting back going, wow.
No, there's a restaurant called the Heart House, and I was like, hey, I got to go there someday. No,
every time something comes up that mentions heart, you're like a dog that gets I'm distracted by the ball.
So easily distracted. But I did remember something before we go to your last trending of the show. My Van Gundy point. Did you happen to hear the discussion about he doesn't eat leftovers during the week, but he'll eat leftovers from Saturday to Sunday because it's a different week? He's out of his mind.
That's weird.
I love him. I think he is a great basketball broadcaster. But the fact that, A, he learned at an early age, who doesn't eat leftovers? He blames his mother because one night a week she would get all the leftovers out and make them all eat leftovers. Okay, but that's the way the world works. You eat leftovers. Otherwise, you're a very wasteful human being.
That's a holding a grudge, man.
But the fact that he doesn't eat leftovers unless the first meal is Saturday and the second meal is Sunday because it's a different week, so technically it's not leftovers, that's borderline psychotic right there.
It is. By the way, programming reminder, Laird and Fitzy coming up at 1 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock they will have Mike Reese on the show to talk about all the opt-outs, including Marquise Lee from this morning. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Nick C Radio. And, of course, you know the radio station at WEEI. More of Hart and Cattles coming up next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Saturday calls for more sports talk. Now, back to Hart and Cattles on EEI.
So we got a bit of a situation today, Andy. As we've been on the air, of course, Craig Mish broke that the St. Louis Cardinals have more than 5 people in the organization that have tested positive for COVID-19. We had the Marlins situation earlier this week, which has become a nightmare. By the way, Andy, do you enjoy the Major League Baseball plan to throw all of the 20 guys infected with the Marlins on a bus so they can bus from Philadelphia to Miami?
No. I wouldn't want to be one of those guys, first of all.
No.
Wouldn't want to be the bus driver. How do you
come on, Major League Baseball players? They've got a bus?
It's a sleeper bus.
It speaks volumes of baseball.
But who drives the bus, in all seriousness?
I don't know.
Do you find an infected person to drive the bus? Or?
Let's hope everybody's wearing masks. Let's hope that everybody's wearing gloves. Let's hope there's social distancing on the bus somehow, some way.
I don't think you can get 20 people on a sleeper bus and have full social distancing.
No, I agree. I agree. It's a tough thing. So you've got the Marlins situation, the Cardinals situation. More than 30 games, more than 30 baseball games have been postponed already. And baseball obviously has been back for about a week. Not good. No. Not good in any realm. And, you know, we had this story that came out yesterday from ESPN's Jeff Passan that Rob Manfred, the commissioner, actually got on the phone with Tony Clark, who was the executive director of baseball's players union, and told Clark that, hey, you got to get your guys in line because they're screwing around way too much. They're going to bars. They're going to strip clubs. They're hanging out at the hotels. They're doing everything they shouldn't be doing. And so that was already the warning shot because Manfred told Clark, if your guys don't get it in order, if they don't follow these guidelines and protocols, we're going to shut the season down. And Manfred does have that autonomy. He's got the control. He can say this season is over if he is uncomfortable with the number of positives in the situation that's happening in the game. So that brings us to the idea of Manfred earlier this week on the MLB Network discussing what it would take to halt the league.
Is there a point, a critical mass, so to speak, within the league or within a team that would cause you to shut down part of the schedule, all of the schedule?
There is certainly both. There's certainly both. I mean, I think that a team losing a number of players that rendered it completely non-competitive would be an issue that we would have to address and have to think about making a change. Whether that was shutting down a part of the season, the whole season, that depends on the circumstances. Same thing with respect to league-wide. You know, you get to a certain point league-wide where it does become a health threat, and we certainly would shut down at that point.
So I don't believe that baseball should shut down based off of what happened with the Marlins and what happened with the Cardinals, especially given the idea that Philly's players, you know, that organization had two positives. And that was after about two positives, and that was after playing the Marlins when the Marlins players were infected. So I think that shows us while you're outside, while you're playing the game, the risk of contracting the disease is really low. I mean, it's still possible, but it is a minuscule percentage. So I think playing the game is not the problem, Andy. The problem, again, is player behavior and how these guys act when they leave the field. And we saw Lou Williams in the NBA going to Magic City for the Wings when he had an excused absence.
Good Wings.
Comes right back. Good Wings. He comes right back and gets put into the, you know, 10-day quarantine.
Yep.
So as we look at baseball, how do you feel this affects? How do you feel the way this affects other sports? Like, when you look at baseball and what they're doing, and obviously to a point it's not working, how does Andy Hart feel about the rest of sports after he watches what happened to baseball this week?
I mean, I think you have to be concerned because, you know, it's one thing to talk about the NHL is back, the NBA back, the bubble teams. But the non-bubble teams, which is the NFL, and I know there are a lot of people that are very skeptical that the NFL, 32 cities, 32 teams, you know, 100-plus personnel can get this done. And I think you're seeing that with some of these coaches' comments talking about, you know, players and what they have to do and the responsibility these guys have. But then you branch off into, well, at least NFL players and teams are a for-profit industry. I've seen all the plans this week starting to come out that the ACC is going to play this schedule. Notre Dame's in the ACC now. The SEC is going to play this 10-game schedule, and they're going to increase and only within conference and all these things. Those are, correct me if I'm wrong here, student-athletes.
Yes.
Those are not professionals. They're not paid, so to speak.
Correct.
Like, there's a whole nother. So you're going to travel. You're going to have away games in the SEC. Alabama's going to go to whoever, and they're going to play 10 games. Like, how is that going to? Now, I know football's a little different. There's been a lot of talk, actually, and I think NFL players have asked for it, of not of having day-in, day-out travel, not having overnight trips. And maybe they can make that work in college football. Maybe they could even make that work in the NFL. You'd have to tweak schedules because obviously, you know, Patriots at Seahawks, that's a hellacious day. I don't know how you could get that done as a one-day, you know, turnaround, fly out right in the morning, fly back. But I just, there's a lot of questions here that are coming and bubbling up because, A, it only takes one idiot, and I'm just going to call them idiots, to ruin it for larger groups of people. And whether that idiot works in a radio station, an office space, a school, a team, that person can bring it in. As you said, doesn't look like playing baseball outside is the issue. It's what you're doing everywhere else and where you bring right it into your team and share it and those types of things. Well, we're in the midst of, we are now August 1st, right? So all over the country, schools are trying to return. Schools are trying to return. Well, these kids all go home to families. Who knows what the families are doing? Maybe the dad's going to a strip club, and then the dad's coming home with the kid, and then the kid's going to the teacher. The teacher goes home to her family. And that's where this whole discussion really can give you an ice cream headache. I'm glad I'm not somebody that has to make these big money decisions based on trusting large groups of people to put on a mask, stay out of group settings, take care of themselves so that they don't harm not only their family, but everybody else they then come in contact with. So the long answer to your short question, as Bill Belichick would say, is, yeah, you have to be worried. Anything that's not in a bubble has to be concerning right now. And I argue against panic porn. I argue against, like, fear-mongering and jumping to negative conclusions. Oh, we can't do this. We can't do that. Shut the world down until there's, we can't. No. I don't fall on that side of the equation. But I don't know how you can look at these situations and not say, yeah, this is going to be tough to do for a lot of people in a lot of industries.
It'll be tough to do, but I do think it's possible. You know, earlier this week, I took a look at some numbers, and this goes back to Thursday, so I don't have the latest numbers. The Marlins are not included in these numbers, and the Cardinals are not included in these numbers, but the total test numbers are also not included, right? I also did not include the NFL in these numbers because the NFL is not releasing their testing information. So here's what I would say, because I wanted to take a look at the data. Instead of falling into all of these narratives and believing that the fire is hot, it's burning all over the place, and you know the Cardinals with five or six positives means the end of sports, and I wanted to take a look at the numbers. And what the numbers told me, and what the numbers I think should tell everybody, is that there's actually some optimism. There's actually some optimism about sports' ability to be able to, you know, continue to exist. So here are the numbers, okay? As of Thursday, there were a total of 62,112 tests. And I'm looking at Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, and the MLS. 62,112 tests.
Okay.
There were 215 positives.
Okay.
That is a positive rate percentage of 0.003. Now, any expert that you listen to says as long as you hover around 5%, you should be able to contain this. You should be able to contact trace and make sure that you're ahead of it. 5% is the golden number. And that's what the NFL is looking at. As a matter of fact, when you look at the NFL's plan, they're going to test every single day for 2 weeks. And then once that 2 weeks is up, they will look at the positivity rate. And if it's more than 5%, they will continue to test every day. If it falls, you know, below 5% or it's at 5%, they will then move to testing every other day. So 5% is the magic number. You're looking at 0.003 right now. And as a matter of fact, when you look at those numbers as of Thursday, almost 9% of all of those positives came from two MLS teams. Almost 9% of the total of positives across four sports, 62,000 tests, came from two MLS teams. I'm not telling you it's a guarantee that you can get through this. I'm not telling you that there won't be starts and stops. I'm not telling you that maybe even baseball goes by the wayside because they couldn't handle their ish. What I'm telling you is that if you look at the data, if you look at the numbers, what it tells us is the vast majority of people in sports are doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. They're getting tested. They're coming back negative. Player behavior might change that. The fluidity of this disease, this infectious disease itself, might change that. But all in all, that's the data I look at. And that's what makes me feel somewhat optimistic. And that includes baseball, which is not in a bubble. overall, sports is doing pretty damn good. And if they can continue down that path and not get mixed up with this Marlins crap and Cardinals crap where guys are going to strip clubs acting like clowns, then they have a great chance of being able to survive this thing.
Okay, the two questions I would have about your data. First of all, some of it is swayed by a couple bubble leagues, right? Where they're in a different world, a more successful and I think believable world in terms of having success, you know, sort of navigating through this whole issue. The other thing I would say is the NFL tests, they're just getting around each other. And
I didn't include the NFL.
Oh, so there's no NFL testing.
There's no NFL numbers in that.
I think there could be a negative direction there. Not only just
could be
the more we hear, because maybe I'm being swayed too much, but it seems like, you know, listening to the McCourties and the James Whites and the people we've sort of talked to via Zoom, they've taken this really seriously.
Yeah.
And so I think they probably have done a pretty good job of staying home, not doing too much, not interacting with all that many people. They're going to be forced now to interact with 100-plus people, and then we know how this works. You're basically, it's kind of like the old sex thing. If you sleep with her, you sleep with whoever you slept with. This is the same thing. If I practice with that guy, well, I'm also practicing with whoever he had dinner with or goes home to, and there's that stretch. And then the travel gets involved at a later point where you start to say we have to travel as a team with hotels and just that sort of issue there. So that's one thing I would just question with your data. And then the other issue I have, I think that a lot of these sports could pull one guy out and keep playing, and the danger to themselves is minimal. But the issue, and I was actually texting back and forth with a lawyer friend about this, the legal issues, the insurance issues, as we start to get into, maybe not an issue for professional sports, they're sort of in their own world, they're adults, they collectively bargained, all that. But when you start talking about colleges and high school and youth sports and these that have to get league insurances, group policies for I don't know that they're going to be able to get those, which would potentially prevent. And from what I understand from my buddy, he said some of the first lawsuits that are related to this, where people are claiming, oh, I was pressured into going to do this and then this happened, whatever, sort of in their workplace or their those are starting to come through the legal pipeline, the court system. And we talked about precedents that get set.
Yeah.
If people are liable, if I, you know, got corona, got sick, and now something bad happened, worst case scenario, I have all these ramifications, and I sue my employer, and I win that lawsuit, well, that's going to, all other employers will take notice, right? And all other insurance companies will take notice. So that's where I'm in that middle ground. Do I think it would be relatively safe for the Alabama football team to play? Yes, I do. I think, you know, Nick Saban's a little older, but the football team, they're young, healthy. Do I think most of them be okay? But if I'm the AD, can I sign off on sort of the idea that, well, we're just going to play on, you know, we'll pull that. Or some people want to go for herd immunity. Yeah. Do I think that might work? I don't know. Maybe it would, but I'm not signing off on it as the AD because the multi-billion-dollar lawsuit that would follow from some worst case scenario death would be awful to have on your conscience and awful to have on your resume.
Yeah, I think it varies depending on what sport you're talking about. I find it difficult to believe that college football will be able to get it done because there's so much that goes into that and so many voices, so many cooks in the kitchen. But I just think my overall point is if people behave properly and they go through these protocols that have been set up, we do have a good chance. We've got a chance. And I think people are doubting that professional athletes can actually do this for the next 3 or 4 months. And I think that's because we're looking
hand raised.
I think we're looking at the few, though. I think we're looking at the few. And, of course, the few can ruin it for everybody else. So let's hope that doesn't happen. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You wrap it up. Hart and Cattles coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Hart and Cattles right here on Boston Sports Station. WEEI. WEEI.
Can't be handled. The Rangers will get it out to neutral ice. Rangers want a penalty, and it looks like they're going to get one for interference as Andrei Svechnikov. And we've got a fight behind the play. Justin Williams is now throwing punches with Mark Stahl. It's early. Is throwing punches with Ryan Strome, rather. Justin Williams and Ryan Strome behind the play. The Canes veteran leader. Holding on. There's a right from Williams. And now the refs are going to stop it. And, of course, you want to generate emotion.
I love it. Joe Kelly, that whole kerfuffle between the Dodgers and the Astros. You had the weird bench clearing situation where dudes are just kind of like trying to stay socially distant and not really knowing how to handle it. Hockey shot out of a cannon. Let's get into a fight right away.
Love it. It was like 2 minutes into the first period. We're back, baby. Let's throw down, gloves down, fist fly. Love it. This is what sports needs. Back to normalcy.
Yes, fights. Yes. Fights on the ice. That's
fights
what
make everything better.
And of course, the Bruins. Bruins are back on the ice tomorrow, 3 o'clock matinee with the Philadelphia Flyers. I can't stand the thought that the seed is up for grabs when they were obviously the best team in hockey, I believe, before the stoppage. And I just hate the round robin, now you might lose your one seed thing. I can't stand that part of it. But I do think they still are one of the best teams in hockey. They've got to put that on the back burner and focus on the task at hand. Pastrnak is back, thankfully. He scored the only goal the other night for them. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him because of the story away from the ice and the fact that they don't really know what he was doing and why he was doing it. So there's a lot of pressure on Pasta this year to produce in this playoff run that is about to hit us. I have confidence that he'll be able to do that. Of course, a lot of other people have the Tuukka Rask questions, which I've always been a Tuukka guy. I actually defend him an awful lot. I think he's better than people give him credit for, and people tend to jump on all these little things with him. But the Bruins, if they can play at the best of their ability, Andy, they are still one of the best teams in hockey. If you look at what Vegas is saying, they like their chances. Get excited tomorrow afternoon against the Flyers.
Yeah, the reality is I don't really care about all the excuses or the layoff or anything like that. The reality for them is, the expectation is, if they do not go to the Stanley Cup final, it's a failure. The season is a failure. The reset is a failure. I got Mike Milbury to begrudgingly admit that yesterday on Dale and Keith, because what you just said, I know they're playing for their seeding. They're the best team in hockey. Vegas thinks they're the best team in hockey. The stats from the season that happened, whatever, 147 days ago, say they're the best team in hockey. They have one of the best goaltenders in hockey, although he still has something to prove in terms of winning a cup. But that's the reality. You're like the Patriots have been for two decades. If you don't go to the Super Bowl, if you don't go to the Stanley Cup, all for naught, the season will be a failure.
And here's the reality of today. There's lots of basketball. There's lots of hockey. There's lots of baseball. Tonight you've got UFC fights.
Ooh.
Feels like an actual sports weekend during the summer.
I got baseball practice at 3:30.
Look at that.
We're back, baby. The new norm includes sports.
With the NHL and NBA during the summertime, it's even better.
Let's go.
Andy, enjoy your weekend, my man.
You too. See ya.
Good stuff. Andy Hart, thanks to Eamon, producer of the program, as always. Laird and Fitzy coming up next. They have Mike Reese on the show at 2 o'clock. I'm back on tomorrow. WEEI, I'll be on 1 to 4. Talk to you then. Have a good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.